In Hebrews chapter 11, the Apostle Paul brings to the attention concerning the history of the church. Okay, it's good to read Hebrews chapter 11 first, and then go to Hebrews chapter 1, because we see that God, who at sundry times and diverse manners. Now, sundry times and diverse manners has to do with at different times and in different ways, God continued to communicate, and he still does the same thing today. He hasn't changed. In the last 6,000 years, God hasn't changed in regarding communicating to the church. Since the time of Adam and Enoch, Seth, and the patriarchs, even to this present time. So in Hebrews chapter 11, he says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Okay, what he's saying right here is regarding the substance. He's talking about it's the present evidence of a revelation that was received. Okay, when Abraham reciprocated to the revelation of God, okay, that was substance. Okay, he was laboring with the revelation, regardless of the circumstances or the contradiction that existed. Okay, so by faith, Abraham did this. Now, we see that the substance is manifested in the activity, and we have substance for our faith today. We have substance for our faith today, which is manifested within the activity, which has to do with the building of the church. Okay, expressing your charity. Expressing your charity is evidence of that faith. A substance is present. A living witness. God has always provided a witness in regarding this form of communication and regarding every covenant. Every covenant, God has always provided a witness of his presence. Okay, when he rained fire down from heaven upon the tabernacle of Moses. Okay, or when he appeared to Moses in a burning bush. Okay, when he appeared to Moses in a burning bush, that was the first indication of his confirmation. Okay, that this confirmation would follow the temple. The fire appeared to the stewardship. The fire appeared also to the priesthood. Okay, when it came down the tabernacle. Okay, that's a substance. Okay, that's a substance. That's the witness which is from above. Our Father provides us a witness. Now, the anointing works in us and through us. See, that's that fire which is from above, okay, which Moses saw in the burning bush, where the bush didn't burn. Okay, the fire that attended upon the tabernacle. Okay, the fire that consumed the wicked in Nadab and Abihu. Okay, Nadab and Abihu died by fire, while Moses also was preserved by fire. Okay, we have that same thing today. Okay, if we were to use the gifts of God with the aspiration, the anointing not accompanying it would stand with an offense, being profane. But when our anointing, when the anointing labors, and that is works with the knowledge, okay, then the salt is present for your sacrifice of charity. Okay, every sacrifice should be salted with fire. That's what Jesus talked about. And every sacrifice should be salted with salt. Okay, now that salt, Jesus made that references to that in regarding the fire. The knowledge which we speak is accompanied by fire. The fire of God consumes, the fire of God purges. Okay, it removes and it establishes. Okay, it removes and establishes, it brings separation, and also at the same time it cleanses the heart. Okay, that's the wisdom of God. He has a two-edged sword. Okay, God's doing the same thing today. Regarding the circumcision of the heart is by the anointing. Now, if the anointing is absent, the circumcision of the heart doesn't take place. Because it does take place because your baptism is absent. We must be baptized with fire. Okay, as John the Baptist also affirmed the temple. Okay, Jesus Christ is that temple. And now the fire ascended upon the temple or the tabernacle, okay, of Moses. The fire descended also, okay, upon the temple of Solomon. The fire also descended upon Jesus' head at his baptism. And the fire also descended upon the day of Pentecost. Because it was affirming the record. Okay, it affirmed the record of Moses, it affirmed the record of David, it affirmed the record of Jesus, and that now is being fulfilled in the church today. Okay, even as by fire. And this is what Paul is talking about. He should be saved as by fire. So here we see a substance. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. So it's accompanying witness until the fulfillment. So God's fire is accompanying us all the way to the baptism of light. But the Comforter which you receive shall abide with you forever. He shall teach you all things. That means the Comforter, being the Holy Ghost, will set order, being the truth. The truth, he called the Comforter the truth. Okay, this truth, that means an order will be set within the frame of your experience. The order will be set within the frame of your experience. So you're not wandering in the wilderness or digging wells or looking for breakthroughs, okay, or living in an expectation as a word from the Lord. Okay? You're working with the anointing now. This is that fire. This is that salt, okay, that's preserving you. When it's preserving you, now there's remission of sin. If the fire is absent, there's no remission of sin. So are you saved because you carry your Bible? No. Are you saved because you quote John 3:16? No. Are you saved because you go to church? No. Or, you know, to the false religious system church. Okay, are you saved because you can you sing in a religious band or a Christian band? No. Are you saved because of water baptism? Absolutely not. Are you saved because you observe the Sabbath day? Never will happen. And the salvation comes through the anointing. Okay, that anointing is the Lord Himself. God is a consuming fire. So Jesus breathed on His apostles in order to relate to them regarding a new birth. Even as the Lord breathed into the nostrils of Adam and he became a living soul, He breathed on His apostles a new knowledge. This new knowledge is going to make your soul living again. You shall be born again. I'm going to breathe in you, this fire, He says. And you should be born again. But in order for you to receive this experience, you have to obey what I'm going to tell you. I want you to tarry at Jerusalem. Now, 10 days from now, I'm going to visit you, but I'm going to come not in the form of flesh, but in the form of fire. As I spoke to you before. But the comfort is the Holy Ghost, when the Father sent in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So you see the activity of the anointing is to draw upon the knowledge that they receive in order to build in a bond. Okay, Abraham looked for a city which has foundations. Okay, what are these foundations he's looking at? The apostolic pattern. Okay, well, how do we know it's the apostolic pattern? Because on the names of the 12 apostles is put within the foundation of the holy city. He looked for a city which has foundations whose builder and maker is God. That which the Spirit constructs is built upon that of the knowledge of the apostolic, which means the stewardship provides this knowledge. That they will believe on me through their word, as the Lord said. Was Jesus speaking those things that they believe on me through their word? Okay, it goes back all the way to the pattern of the holy city, New Jerusalem. Okay, my city shall be built upon this knowledge. Okay, my city be being built on this knowledge. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Pitches each gate is as a pearl. Okay, and through grace and suffering, you're going to overcome, and you're going to overcome because you're building upon the stewardship which I anointed. Abraham looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we also continually reflect upon that, and we also view this in the same manner as the father Abraham. Those that view the kingdom of God according to that pattern, at that foundation, will enter into those gates. Okay, but those which are skeptical, those which are doubting and double-minded, those which are not laboring, see, with these things, those that follow the spirit of error, the spirit of the mischief, okay, that which is the spirit of wickedness, because the whole world lies in wickedness, as Apostle John said, which means it's in the pursuit of the aspiration. The current of the aspiration is taking them away and drowning them. Okay, but the Lord has provided a greater witness, a substance which is eternal. So our debate with those on Facebook and Twitter, okay, is not in comparison of precept with precept. With precept with precept, you can debate forever. The Pharisees and the Sadducees did the same thing. They debated precept upon precept, line upon line. Every precept is a chain. Every line is a link to their own derision. They're binding themselves to the millstone which be cast into the depths of the sea. Okay, that's exactly what the Lord testified of the city of Babylon. He picked up a millstone and cast it in the sea, and thus with violence shall be cast down. It labors with the tokens of this world. You know what a millstone is, right? It grinds. Okay, and it grinds the wheat. The wheat is the soil. The knowledge of this world. The knowledge of this world is only the parchment at which Adam used in order to conceal himself. It is to hid among the trees. Okay, the parchment is a leaf. Okay, it is called a leaf for a reason. Okay, the parchment is called a leaf because Adam concealed himself behind the law of his own moral code. And that's why God called out to him. The fire says, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? And again, God addressed his judgments towards Adam. It was according to the knowledge Adam embraced.
You want to rule as a God by the knowledge which you received to the serpent. Okay, but now, Okay, the soil is going to be your judgment. You shall labor, and it shall not yield to you. The law will not work for you, Adam. Okay, but my spirit will. Many ways and diverse manners. Different seasons. Okay, different ways God would communicate. Now, we can think about some of the ways God communicated. Okay, when you turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Okay, God communicated through a burning bush, as an example. Okay, God communicated as a still small voice. God communicated as concerning lightning and thunder, a roaring sound. God communicated through the lips of a donkey, is another example. Diverse ways, many different ways, many different seasons, and God still does that today. Even as he spoke to Samuel, God spoke to Samuel in the tomb of Eli, but it was God that was speaking. And when God spoke to Samuel, he called him. The lamp, the candle, the oil went out in the tabernacle. The tabernacle was dark. Okay, and the darkness came upon the church. And God is calling a stewardship again in order to give light to the tabernacle or to bring knowledge to the soul. The oil of the lampstand now has been set within the heart of the righteous. And the oil is burning in the heart because the stewardship now is functioning. Okay, so we've got stewardship and priesthood, and we talked about that Sunday. Okay, when Mary, being of Judah, met Elizabeth, which is a Levi, the stewardship of Judah and that the priesthood of Levi, now joined themselves together, and the babe leaped in her womb, which means it was ready to labor. Okay, it was like an awakening. An awakening. Now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Okay, the root of the trees, which has to do with many generations of tradition, have to be plucked up and removed. That's what God's doing today. Okay, the anointing is leaping within your womb, saying, arise and labor. Okay, arise and labor. This is a time. Okay, to rise and labor, because the time is at hand. Again, that's another manifestation or substance, the anointing. So faith. We know that faith is obedience to the revelation. We know that there's three forms of faith, don't we? It's concerning the gift of knowledge and the fruit of faith. Okay, so this right here has to do with that which God is nurturing within you so that you can abound in it. Your faith can increase. The apostles inquired of the Lord and regarding, Lord, would you increase our faith? And the Lord reflected and regarding a particular parable. Okay, if you have grace, if you have faith as a grain as a mustard seed, as he pointed out, you shall say to this mountain. Now, when he says, when you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, he wasn't saying, now go to the mountain and tell it to move. He wasn't telling them to do that. This is in regarding, is concerning its increase. And they were asking him, petition, yes, your faith can increase. It increases if you use it. Okay, if you abuse it, then you're burying the talent, which means the bartering tool, if it's buried, is not going to increase your profits at all. If you want a profit in your charity, if you want a profit in your faith, you have to use it. Okay, now we know that this Saturday is IPA. So if you want substance for your faith, then labor with it. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in tongues. Offering of your sacrifices. Attending the assembly whenever possible. Okay. So now faith is a substance of things hoped for, which means the witness is accompanying you. Okay, in order to bring about the expected goal, the expected revelation. Okay, the expected revelation. Abraham was obedient to the Lord, and in conclusion, he received what he petitioned God for. Okay, an heir. An heir. Why was it because Abraham wanted a baby? No, it wasn't because Abraham wanted a baby. Okay, he had many children through his servants. Okay, but an heir to carry the knowledge. That's what he wanted. He wanted a steward to carry on this tradition of revelation. And God says, I will give you a steward that will carry on the tradition of this revelation, because I know Abraham, that he will teach his children my way. He will teach them my commandments, and how to fear me. As God testified to Abraham, I know, Abraham, that you will do these things, and I will provide you a steward, an heir, but it will be supernatural. I'm going to give you substance. And speaking, he says that Sarah, your wife, she will be the one that's going to bring forth the next steward. Okay, the next steward, which is going to carry on this tradition and this knowledge. following him. And that's why he says, and your seed. Okay, your seed. And Jesus is now overseeing, okay, this propagation. Okay, as the prophet said, he shall see his seed, speaking of the Messiah. He shall see his seed, speaking of the disciples. He shall prolong his days, speaking of his resurrection. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You are that pleasure. Okay, you are that joy. This is what Jesus was speaking about. Okay, that this joy, that my joy might be fulfilled within you. Okay, that your joy may be full. This is my joy, this is my pleasure. Okay, this is my gift for you, in order for you to reciprocate to my Father for the purpose of this journey which you're in order to back into the bosom. Okay, and enter in through the gates of the holy city. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, this is the expected outcome, okay, of nothing that's provided for you at this present time, not seen. Not seen. The evidence of things not seen. Okay, your lifestyle is a witness. Okay, this, when the Spirit came upon you, you spoke in tongues. That's the Spirit now is accompanying your faith for the purpose of this expectation. A true promise. A true expectation. Okay, not a false promise. Okay, not the promise of pretense. Okay, or you could say a false pretense. Okay, the indication and sincerity might be present, but the outcome won't be there. Okay, Satan was very sincere what he says. Okay, but of course the outcome was not favorable to Adam. Okay, and the wiles of the devil is prevailing within the church today, okay, through false knowledge, the doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine and deeds of Nicolaitans, the teachings of Jezebel. And these promises are pretense, or pretense of promise, okay, will never bring about the outcome, the favored outcome. Because our faith is built with substance. Their faith is built with wishful thinking for a positive outcome. Okay, the faith of the world, which is false faith, okay, is only built upon the pretense of their promises, okay, and wishful thinking. Okay, wishful thinking. Okay, they're hoping for a positive outcome, so they got their fingers crossed. Okay, now Abraham, after he received the revelation of God, did not start the cross finger ministries, cross your finger ministries. Okay, he reflected upon the revelation. Okay, so now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But those that withdraw, God shall have no pleasure in them. Now we see that in verse 39 of chapter 10. Okay, he says right here, now the just shall live by faith, in verse 38. But if any man draw back, okay, well, where are we drawing back to? You're drawing back into the moral code, okay, the confidence of your moral code. Because since you were born within this dimension of the flesh, okay, you use the experiences of the flesh to draw conclusions about what your reality, the future reality, would be. Okay, and the moral code assisted you in order to make those choices, in order to direct you into that which you're expecting. Okay? So if any man draw back from the revelation of God, the new record, okay, the record of Christ is the true record, okay, where the record of man is a lie. Okay, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. All those that follow in rhythm of their own record, okay, replacing the record of Christ, shall be cast in the lake of fire. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure. And there we see the word pleasure again. Okay, we see the word pleasure there. Now, that's in verse 38, chapter 10. And you can draw a line from the word pleasure in 38 to verse the word in verse 6. Okay, which has to do without faith, it's possible to please him. Okay, the word please and the word pleasure. Okay, faith meets God's expectations. Now, the false religious system approaches God on the conditions of their sincerity, okay, which has to do with their emotional expression. Their emotional expression. They feel God will hear them because they believe, okay, in that form of expression. Okay, the yearnings of their soul. Okay, the yearnings of the soul. Well, okay, that provides a sharp contrast. Okay, as an example, okay, a child is being served a meal. Okay, and there's two things that are being served to him. Okay, which has to do with like frozen peas. Okay, on one plate, okay, and a brownie and ice cream on another plate. Okay, now the frozen peas in that one plate, is the child is going to view those things in the light of what he wants. And the child says, I don't want the peas. I want the dessert. I want this over here. This is what I take pleasure in. This meets my expectation. But those frozen peas over there, okay, are tasteless. They're tasteless. There's no taste to it. It's just frozen peas that have been been microwaved, and it loses its taste. Okay? And this is tasteless. Now, the emotion, the sincere emotions of those, okay, they believe in God, but yet they're not laboring with Him, are like those frozen peas before the throne of God. Okay, and God's looking at those things and says, okay, you're providing me tasteless emotion and sincerity. Okay, but these, the righteous over here, are giving me what I want. Okay, this meets my expectation. Okay, if you want a relationship with God, then you got to give to Him what He wants, not what you want. Okay, the false religious system is giving to God, okay, what they feel He wants. But God has already communicated what He wants. He says, I want my Christ. Why are you giving me yourself? I want my Christ. If you want to present to me what I desire in Christ, then you have to walk by faith. That's what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. You have to reciprocate to what I want, not what you want. The false religious system is basing the premises of their worthiness, okay, upon the emotional, okay, expressions and sincerity of their own moral code. And God looks at that as slop. Okay, as slop, as dung. Okay, it's not that which God favors. He says, this is not what I want. Okay, you're offering me to what you think I want, but I already provided for you that which I desire in Jesus Christ. Okay, so faith is the substance of things so far, the evidence of things not seen. You get your sacrifices right there. Okay, in other words, those which draw back unto perdition, see the word draw back, which means instead of following through with a revelation, okay, they're falling away to the aspiration. Instead of embracing the revelation, they're falling away with the aspiration, which is called perdition, okay, or perdition, which means it's a destructive habit. Destructive habit. Okay, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. See the words, those, but them that believe. We are not of them who draw back to perdition. Okay, they're following in rhythm just with their own aspiration, the religious aspiration, okay, and the moral code. The moral code speaks to them, okay, about the conditions of their guilt. Okay, but faith speaks to us about Jesus Christ. Okay, the false religious system preaches of how to resolve the guilt which you feel in your conscience. So they give them a form of psychology. Okay, psychology. As Paul talked about, okay, there in the book of Colossians, okay, when he talks about, okay, beware of those things, particularly of tradition of men, the psychology of the world, okay, it's philosophies, and the psychology of it, okay. When he's talking about psychology, you're talking about all the nuances and the variables, okay, of one's soul, okay, the conditions of one's soul, and the variables of everybody's soul is different. Okay, but God provided one point of contact, okay, instead of addressing, okay, the nuances, okay, of every individual on the level of themselves. God says, you have to look up, okay, and I'll give it to you. Okay, what you want, what people are doing, they want God to come down their level, and that's what Moses said. Okay, God is not going to come down on your level. Okay, you have to worship Him as He with the tokens that He's provided for you, and that's your charity. That's your love towards Him. That's what He takes pleasure in. Okay, that God takes pleasure in that which provides a rest, R-E-S-T. God takes pleasure in that which provides a rest. The soul is no longer laboring with iniquity upon iniquity. The soul is now laboring upon grace. Okay, now law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses, which charged the Adamite with guilt. And because of the law, guilt was magnified. Now the guilt is not only magnified by the law, but it's exposed by the open conscience. When the conscience is open. Now, I'll give you an example of that and get ready to close here. Okay, you say it just rained and you see a puddle of water. So you take up a stone, probably about, you say, 10 to 20 pound stone. You stand back a good distance from that little puddle. Okay, then what you do is you throw the stone up and allow it to land in the center of the puddle. Now, when it lands in the center of the puddle, of course, it's going to make a big splash. Now, when it hits, the water separates. It makes an opening, doesn't it? Okay, within a few moments after it makes an open, you notice what happens? The water starts to rush back to to that point of origin where of that contact. In other words, it closes upon that stone. Now, when God opens the conscience, it's like the rock that hit the stone. It opens the conscience, okay, and then its presence soon becomes clouded over again. It opens, and then it closes up again. After it closes up again, okay, of course, the rock now is covered with mud and everything. Okay. Now, once it closes up again, the individual now has to make a choice of the direction they're going to take. You see this throughout the scriptures, where it says, and they shall know, and they shall know, and they shall know that the Lord has done this. They shall know. God opens the conscience, okay, in order to press guilt upon the mind. Then the conscience closes in itself, and now God stands back to see what their choice will be, if they will seek him or not. See the word seek there? If they will seek unto the Lord or not. Okay, that's after the open conscience. Okay, now the conscience is closed as the water rushes back in, and God is now going to watch their choices. If they choose derision, okay, now they say the darkness, men love darkness rather than light. If they choose that derision, then God sends wrath. If they choose grace, then God sends mercy. Okay, and God sends mercy there. Okay, so this really means to the believing, to the saving of the soul. The conscience has been opened, now having been closed. Okay, the guilt has been exposed, now the guilt's removed. I mean, the guilt is removed by the choice of his mercy. Okay, the guilt is removed by the choice of mercy, and now the conscience can be purified, okay, and made clean. So, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. So I highlight that's in verse 6 there. But without faith, okay, which means apart from this pattern, okay, apart from this pattern, we see Abel and Enoch is just mentioned here. By faith, Abel offered. By faith, Enoch was translated. Okay, they both followed a pattern of revelation and an expectation of a positive outcome by the revelation, not by the aspiration, but by the revelation. And both also had to be patient, okay, upon that conclusion. We also are patient upon the conclusion of that. And the Lord brings the results. It's God that brings us all. This is where your trust develops. Your trust develops through this contact. God brings results. Okay, all we have to do, okay, is continually reflect and the tasks which he's assigned for us to perform, okay, is the labor which we put our hands to. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. So here we see it was put down to this one thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We have to operate within the frame which God has sanctified, okay, by that anointing. All right, we meet his expectation perfectly. Faith is the equity of God's eye. Okay, faith is the equity of God's eye. Faith is like, to God's eye, it's like a beautiful sunset. Okay, or a field, like a field of tulips. Okay, in the early spring, it's like a field of tulips in the early spring. Okay, or it's like an orchard. Okay, an orchard that has its fruit. Okay, the fruit is bright and ready to pick. Okay, like right now the season right now for picking grapes, okay, is very close, okay, and the heat of the sun has provided, okay, the assistance for the purpose of bringing these grapes to the point now of its perfection, okay, so that it meets the equity of the vine dresser. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. So this is the equity of God's eye, your faith. If you want to please him, if you want to be as a pupil of his eye, okay, you have to walk by faith. Now, there's a lot of people that take the word pupil of the eye, okay, in regarding their culture or tradition, okay, or their selection of text. No, the pupil of God's eye is faith, and you're walking by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God, okay, which means our approach to him must be on his terms, must believe that he is the revelation that he provided. You have to follow through on the terms of the covenant. And that he is a rewarder. Okay, so highlight the word rewarder there in verse 6. We'll get really close. Highlight the word rewarder there, which means he gives gifts of appreciation for a continued relationship. The reciprocation of our Father is based upon our behavior towards him by faith. Okay, our behavior towards him by faith. If your reciprocation according to his terms, then you are the crown of his delight. Like the woman is the crown, okay, of the husband. The woman is the crown of the husband. Okay, the wife is the crown, okay, of the family. Okay, she her reciprocation to the husband receives gifts from him. Okay, you can see the reciprocation there, being the crown. She's following through. Okay, the procedure is she's following through on the things that please him. Okay, and he reciprocates with more gifts. But God does the same thing. Okay, so God put that design within the church, and this is what Paul was expounding on. Okay, even as the husband loved the wife, even as Christ loved the church. See the reciprocation there. Without faith it is impossible to please him, but he that comes to God must believe. As I said, to acknowledge, to mold with, and submit to. So here we see faith and reciprocation right here, being the apple of God's eye, the pupil. For he that comes to God on these terms must believe that he is, as concerning the rewarder, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. There's the word seek there. That means you continually lean towards the grace. You continually lean towards the grace. Okay, as God continually reveals himself, you continually lean towards that. You're bonding with him. Okay, that anointing is a bonding power. Okay, the anointing is a bonding power because it's fire unto fire, light unto light. Okay, fire unto fire, light unto light. Okay, we as children of that baptism of fire, okay, are going to enter back into, okay, that inheritance through the throne of fire, for God is a consuming fire.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.